We spent the whole first part of the year up to basically a week ago in Proverbs, going through Proverbs. Still invited you to read Proverbs. I invited you at the beginning of the year to read Proverbs with me. Read a proverb a day according to the date. 31 Proverbs, so you can do the math on that. One a day. At the end of the year, you will have read Proverbs 12 times. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of Solomon recorded in the Word of God. But I felt released from that. And since then, we've seen crazy things happen. And I felt like the Lord was going to give me things for what was happening at the time. And while I'm shocked at this week's events, we could go right through the list of current events. There's a major current event and a major current event and a major current event, and any one of those could take the spotlight. The Olympics could take the spotlight. What's happening in Israel could take the spotlight. Presidential election could take the spotlight. Attempted assassination could take the spotlight, and they're all there. They're all there. It's very evident that evil is rampant right now. I would say that even though we know that evil has always been there, a church view of evil has probably kind of been like it plays nice though. It gets a little ground, we get a little ground, we kind of go back and forth. Can I tell you, it's not like that at all. It's not like that at all. The Bible says that there's war that is going on. Ephesians 6, I've got so many ways to go this morning, and I don't even know if I gave you this one, Eric, but just look at Ephesians 6 with me. Just go there. Verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Because that's where the first response is at. That's where it's at for me. I recognize it in people. I recognize it in people's actions. I see people carrying on and displaying themselves and more out there and more open about it and more public than it's ever been before, demanding things. Give me my time. Be tolerant with me. Give me a place. And let's move from that to, now that I have a place, this is what I demand. And it's gone from what I demand to this is what you must accept now, and this is what you must acquiesce to. And it will continue on until it makes the argument. Now you be quiet. Tolerance is gone. Not tolerant anymore. Now you be quiet. Now you back into a corner. Now you get locked away. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So what it's saying is that there's stuff that you can see with your physical eyes, but that's not where the battle is. That's where the distraction is. Because that's an outward manifestation that we can all see. But there's something in the heavenlies that you can't see. And let me just tell you like this, God is not losing. Rest assured. In His mercy, He is allowing. This is a greater picture of God's mercy than we ever thought that it was. And a greater picture of His grace. I mean, help me if I get it right. Grace was, mercy was not getting what you deserve, right? Grace was getting what you not getting what you should have got, right? Okay. I'll leave it alone because I had a little twist right there. Usually when I'm by myself, I can nail that one. But it's bigger than that. To say that there was a display this week, I've done some reading up on it, on what happened at the Olympics in the opening ceremony. I wouldn't offer you images. I wouldn't tell you to look. I'll tell you some of what I saw. I saw a portrayal of the Lord's Supper by drag queens. And then in front of that was a like a meal prepared, and as they pull the lid off, someone that comes up and they're not clothed except barely painted. And their message is supposed to be something about violence among men, how that it shouldn't be, and an ode to a goddess. Can't remember the name exactly of the one. And I watched this. Someone went around France the next morning and said, have you heard about the controversy that it stirred up? You've made 2.4 billion Christians upset. And to be fair, what I read said that the one that put this together did not tell anybody that this was what was planned, that they were kind of surprised by it. I guess they didn't have any rehearsals or anything like that. And nobody knew, but they sure came out with it in our faces. I wasn't even watching it. My wife got a call from our daughter, and she said, y'all seen the Olympics? Have you seen the opening ceremony? She said, I've had to just turn the TV off. Every time I tried to look, I just had to turn it off. So I did not watch the original thing. But I learned enough about it to make me sick. And while there's a side that wants to attack and say things and defend, do you know that God doesn't need a defense? And He didn't strike anybody dead either. Which tells me that His mercy and His grace is still there. But it's not that it was not made fun of and ridiculed. It's not that that didn't happen. It surely happened. Because we should not be surprised at the boldness of the enemy side. What we should be surprised and shocked and gasping at is the silence of the church on it. And we have to be fair to look at it properly to notice that Christianity was the only thing that was attacked. And the comments have been made, well, they wouldn't try that on Islam, or they would not do that to Muhammad, or they would not dishonor Dao, or they would not honor Confucianism, or they would not dishonor Buddha. But look at them go against Jesus. And my answer to that would have to be that the others are darkness. The only problem with Jesus is not a problem, but it's a problem if you're in darkness. Because Jesus is the light of the world. And light shatters darkness. In darkness, when light comes, darkness goes away. There's no place for it. So there's also a side. There's things that I've read that the Apostle Paul preached that did not make sense to me, but now it's starting to make some more sense to me. Paul said this. He said, when others came up and talked about it, say, hey, this one's preaching Jesus for personal gain. They're peddling Jesus for personal gain. And Paul said something about this. He said, don't worry about it. The name of Jesus is being preached. So I would have to say this. Even though it was perverted as it could be, the Lord's Supper was not on display, but it was mentioned and mimicked. How much further do we have to be assaulted before we say, oh, I believe in that though. But I believe in that. Is it okay if I believe what I believe? You can believe what you want. What about what I believe? I'm not saying that was a good thing at all. It was a horrible thing. But I'm telling you that God can take care of Himself. And He saw it all. And He's not surprised by it. But we are. Because it's almost like playing a game and we get a little loose with the game, with the rules, and all of a sudden somebody does something that's way outside the lines, and then all of a sudden we call a fence, but we haven't really been sticking to the rules. And now the enemy has come across the line so hard that we're sitting there watching again, but can we just go back in time for a minute and just think about the many concerts, the many music videos that slam God, that bring in evil signs and gestures and satanic symbols and all of this. And do you know that you know, when you watch awards and someone receives an award and they award themselves a lot these days, but when they're on the cycle of rewarding themselves again, sometimes they'll get up there and they'll say, first thing, I want to thank God. Would it blow your mind to know that a lot of those times they're not talking about Almighty God? They're talking about the God that they serve. They're talking about the knee that they bow down to. And they can just slide it in under God and it seems acceptable because they got fans that come to church on Sunday, but did not know that they serve a different God than we serve. But the labels are coming off and the gloves are coming off and they're showing themselves. The spirit of it is, at least the spirit of it is there. The halftime shows that we just have to see. Oh, it's littered with it. It's littered with it. We'll feel good about our artists if they'll sing a little ode to Jesus. Should not be a shocker to us that at the Olympics, a scoffing took place. What is Second Peter say about it? Second Peter 3, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of a reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments to of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Everything that was on display was according to their own lust, and it was scoffing and mocking. And I find it amazing that the one who put it all together, his name is Thomas Jolly. He's over artistic theater in Paris. Paris is known for their fashion and their catwalks. And they say something like the world, that Paris is fashion to the world, and we're the catwalk for it. So what they displayed, a blasphemy of the Last Supper, a mocking, a making fun of, a disrespect, and an intolerance to Christianity. Wow. In this man's word, it was a celebration for the LGBTQ, whatever community. It was a celebration for them. It was an artistic driving force. And this is what he said. He called it a beautiful responsibility to show inclusion so that no one feels left behind, so everyone feels represented. Found that so strange. I find that so strange that this guy gets an opportunity to display something. And in the past, they've displayed beautiful things. I saw 10 years ago, they drew a correlation between, I think it was 2014, at one of the Olympics there, when they had the couples dancing, male and female, you know, couples. I said couples, so you know when I say couples, we're talking male and female, just so you know. But they're dancing and doing beautiful ballet together, which you'd never see me wearing pants entirely too tight. But that's what they did. And it was male and female dancing together. But to draw that versus what was on display this week, and then to say it was a beautiful responsibility, so that we can display inclusion and speak freedom to every place. And France is a free place. So free, love who you want free. And that everyone is included in, and that no one is left behind, and that no one feels left out. Now, okay, I've heard that argument before. I've heard that for a while. But to do that at the Olympics and think it's a beautiful responsibility to do that at the Olympics, aren't the Olympics that competitive sporting event where men compete against men and women compete against women, and the only ones that are included in that are those that have trained, competed, and competed, and competed to become the most elite that there is, and they compete. Y'all, I didn't get my invitation to the Olympics. Can you believe it? I was going to do the high jump. Y'all are thinking maybe burger eating contest, Pastor John. Olympic gold medalist. How do you see how that, like that didn't match? You remember the old Sesame Street thing? Circle, 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 triangle. Which one doesn't match? That didn't match. What you said you tried to do did not match. But as I looked closely and I typed in several different things, I did realize that the Olympic Committee, IOC, did register. I mean, I got to give them credit. They did register an apology about the events of the opening ceremony. You want to hear the apology? This was the apology. As the one took the complaint, he turned. He said, "I'll let you answer that one." And when the one that it went to answered, he said this. He said, "Clearly, deeply regrettable, and we apologize for this operational mistake. We apologize to South Korea for introducing them as North Korea." So that happened. South Korea was not happy at all to be introduced as North Korea. Two very different people, two very different ideals, two very different government systems. And IOC backed off and said, "Oh, we're sorry about that, South Korea. We deeply regrettable. We apologize. Please accept our apology." But to Christians, crickets. Crickets to Christians. 2.4 billion Christians. I would say that the act of what was done was to welcome all and include all by replacing Jesus and his disciples with the drag queens of the LGBTQ portraying a perverted Last Supper. That was a clear indication to 2.4 billion Christians on the earth that you are not welcome here, and your God is not welcome here. And I'm telling you, it started as coming out and then being recognized and then being demanding of rights, and you've got to call me this and you've got to go by this, and the next thing will be to come after your rights. And the following things were to be putting you into a closet. Read your Bible. This should not be hard for us to figure out. And lo and behold, we got the playbook right here. It's not hard to see it for what it is. Why? Because it's darkness. Already stole rainbow. You realize that the homosexual rainbow is six colors, not seven colors. Y'all realize that? There's a church that's been passing out rainbow flags and stuff for years, but it's got Jesus on it. But it's the real rainbow. Man, woo. They aren't scared. What was that?
They stole God's rainbow.
Yeah, they stole it. They stole it. And we watched them. Watched them steal it. They stole a rainbow already. Have already stolen it and redefining it what marriage is. Stole pronouns. You can tell me that's what your pronouns are, but I'm not going to break the basic laws of English that I learned and call you something that would make me into a liar. I'm not going to do that. I don't have to do that. You don't have to do that either. I told somebody this morning, I'm not afraid to whittle the church down. I'm not trying to whittle the church down. But I know that people get uncomfortable when we talk about things like this. I learned a long time ago. I was on a staff of thousands of people. I know what it is to preach in front of thousands of people. I know what it is to have my voice go out on the airways. But I also know that I don't have enough people in this building to do it wrong yet. That's just my own little saying right there. They've stolen the rainbow. They've stolen the marriage definition. They've stolen pronouns. They've stolen terms, definitions. Do you know that the word gay was at its all-time high in the 1800s? And it went down all the way to its lowest point in about 1975. And then it's about 1980, somewhere along there. It started trending upward, this gay term, because it took a new definition and it just took off. And it's almost reached its highest point. It hasn't gotten there yet, but it used to be a word that was used often in the 1800s, and to the level all the way to 1850 and 1900, it was used. You watch old black and white movies, and you'll hear them talking about, oh, she's just happy and gay today. Did y'all know that? The older ones of us knew that. Here's what gay means in your dictionary. It means lighthearted and carefree. That's what it means, lighthearted and carefree. But that was the number one definition. But if you look, the definition has changed. Now lighthearted and carefree, it says dated, and it's moved to second place. It's number one definition in the way your children are learning it. Is a person who is gay, go to the number one, sexually or romantically attracted to people of one's own sex. That's the number one definition. The number two definition is lighthearted and carefree. So, I've been a gay man lots of times, but I ain't never been a homosexual. So I'm just taking terms back. I've been a gay man lots of times, lighthearted, carefree, but I ain't never been a homosexual. Just thought I'd get that out there. It just felt good to say. Married to the woman of my dreams. Having children, boys and girls, and recognizing people. City of Light. So how many millions is that going to cost them? It's frustrating. It's agitating. But the word said that it would happen, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, walking according to their own lust. Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You got to trust that. You got to trust that it's hard. And the words that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And it's hard not to get out in front of that scripture. But don't get out in front of that scripture. Do not get out. The protection in God is running into the tower of Jesus, where we are safe. do not hate people in the homosexual lifestyle. I had a friend that left ministry, and he told me for years, he said, "You're the only one that'll still call me and talk to me." And it breaks my heart because he knows that I love him. And I called him and I said, I had a dream about you. And I said, I saw you go over a cliff in a vehicle, was out of control, and you were dying in that vehicle. And he just paused, and I wondered about what I said. I questioned what I said. And then he came back on a trembling voice. He said, 2 days ago, I went off an embankment. I fell 50 feet in my car and I slammed into the highway patrolman. Says, I do not know how you are alive. I said, do you not hear God calling you back? There's a way back for you. Now, what if I just threw him away with everybody else? At least he's got one person in his life that knows I love you like he loves you. Can I tell you what it says about the love of many in the last days? It says that the love of many will wax cold. Now, before we get too carried off track with that, the love of many described right there is the agape love. You look that up. You look up what he's talking about there. He said the love of many. He's talking about the agape love. That is a love that you can't come up with. Because it's his love. The agape love is described like this. The love of the Father to the Son, from the Son to men, and from men back to God. And it says that the love of many would wax cold. You ever played with a candle? I sure have. Lord help me, I used to do it at candlelight services. I'd have me a little teepee of wax built up, and at first it hurt good night. I was like, whoa, I hope my mom don't see me. And then I would get the next drop and the next drop, even though it felt warm. It did not take long for that hot wax to get cold. It did not take long for that hot wax to get cold. And it will not take long for the love of God to leave the church because we're handling this thing as if against men, against flesh and blood. And our only way to not allow that to happen is to not look at people like, I hate what they're doing. I hate it. I hate you look like, I hate you dress like that. I hate you. It'll happen quick like that. That's somebody's son. That's somebody's daughter. I listened to my son this week. He went and did missions this week, and I looked at him, and I started to tear up because I was like, God, we did the best that we could, but he could have made his own decisions. I could be crying over him, saying, God, how did this happen? How did this happen? You give an example, but they make their own decisions. So what if I close the door on communities? That's just one group of people that needs God. People need the Lord. And the Lord that you got is the one that they'll get. And it might mean you get out the way so they can. And I am in no way defending the actions. But I'm tired of everybody on that side getting the pass of saying, y'all won't hear me, y'all won't include me, you won't tolerate me. Look, you're talking about freedoms. This is the United States. You got the freedom to do what you want. You got the freedom to say what you want, and you're doing it. So you're acting like, look at this. You're acting like there's something that you're not able to do, which you can. But we're also breaking laws, wanting to write laws so that things will happen when we got laws on the books that we're ignoring. My mind is blown every day by this world, but the world's agenda. I can tell you who senses it coming close, it's got to be the enemy, because he's turned everything on high. I told my wife this week, I imagine that for the foreseeable future, there will be no shortage of material from week to week to bring to you. And then saying, what are we going to do? I love our response this morning. The last thing, I was nauseous up here because as I prayed, I got on my face. I said, God, help me not say something that's just from John. I don't want to say just something from John. I want to say what pleases you. It's not just an atheist world. It's an antichrist world. Jesus said a long time ago, spirit of antichrist, that's coming, already here. And the church, thank you, already here. We're at church singing, send down the Holy Ghost, send him on down. He's down. Been down. Quit singing stupid stuff. He's down. And Jesus tried to tell him then, I'm going away so that the Holy Spirit can come. And there's a spirit of Antichrist that's in the world, and he's already here. Evil assassination attempts, pride, woke agenda. They had a pale horse with a death rider on it. I think dude got a lot of his information right out of this word and just twisted it right on. Tell them I can't answer right now. I'll talk to them later. Answer it and tell them I can't call. Celebrate pride. I thought we were supposed to repent of pride. Last Supper. Trans. You know the deception of this thing too, this homosexual agenda? Do you know the deception of that? Just one of the deceptions of that is that there is a whole group of people, and a lot of them that are homosexuals, are they touted this along the way, along with inclusion and tolerance. They touted a lot of things about things being sustainable, things not being sustainable. So we're going to make sure we take care of the ocean. We're going to make sure that we take care of the trees, but we're going to kill babies. But you're involved in something that there's no way that your acts that come together, our acts can come together and we'll create children. And we have. Those acts can come together. They will never create children. So it's not even sustainable unless they take some of your children. Where are they going to get them from? Should I boycott? You should read Romans 12 and make a decision. You should read Romans 12. I won't spoil it for you. You might already know. You should read Romans 12. And then you can make a decision. You can make an informed decision that goes through the filter of his word. Not telling you what to do. Should I vote? Ooh, Pastor John. Should I vote? Well, let me just promise you this. Jesus ain't on the ballot. He ain't on the battle box. He ain't on the ballot or the battle box. There'll be, looks like a man and a woman. But I tell you what I will not vote for. I won't vote for anything that destroys the life of a child. I won't stand for anything that can't declare one nation under God Almighty and Him alone. You know, when we said one nation under God, we were just talking about God Almighty. That's the only one they were talking about. That's why they left where they were at to come over here. I don't want to get into all the wrong things that have happened. Look, you'll back yourself up into a corner where you can't buy a thing from anybody and you won't trust nothing. You better put your faith in God. Oh, I'm not going to shop at Target. Well, I'm not going to shop at Walmart. I'm not going to shop. You're going to run out of places to shop at. They all got ties to different things. You better make sure your connection is hitched to Jesus. Our country is headed in the direction that God already knew that it would go. And He's not panicked. And that's why our worship should get His attention. I worshiped through the death of a daughter, and y'all saw it. And that was not for display for you to see. That was because what was in our heart gave gratitude to God who saw it all. And let me tell you, I've got a son-in-law and two grandchildren, and I still got a wife, and I still got a son, and I still got a daughter, and there's still me, and one of us will die next unless Jesus comes, and we'll still toe the line to heaven and trust Him all the way. He's not a God that only we serve whenever we agree with what we think He should do. Because if that would have been the case, I'd have had to get off the boat a long time ago. I have learned to pray to Him for what I believe is His will and then submit to His decision in the process, understanding He's God and I'm not, and I'm under Him. Amen. Y'all just been figures until now, so if you thought I was looking at any of you, I was looking towards you, but my ambitions are tied up in this sentence right now. I want to live my life in such a way that was said of one in the Bible, that he had this that he pleased God. He had this that what he did pleased the Lord. My ambition is not a huge church or I would have stayed. My ambition was not a great big church because I know a path how to make that happen. My ambition is to please the Lord. And this needs to be a place where we come and we pray. Thank you to those that came out Wednesday night. We had more Wednesday night we've ever had. Our Wednesday night's just prayer. It's prayer alone. And I said this, our Wednesday night is not for non-regular attenders. We've got to keep this place safe. There's craziness that's gone. There's even craziness that's happened on a Wednesday night. And those of you that come know what I'm talking about. We've got measures in place for that. We don't let visitors in on Wednesday night. It's a private meeting. There'll be a silent door, private meeting. Sorry. Come back Sunday. This is who we are. But on Wednesday, we're praying. That's what we're doing. We're praying. Thank you to those that could make room and come. And I'm not getting on to you. I'm not. I promise you I'm not. I'm believing that you're finding time to pray. It's just a group of people that can pray. Most of them don't have young children. Most of them, their children are really close to leaving or gone. And they got time, they can do that. So, but if you can come Wednesday, come. You'll be welcome.